Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, and my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, and ways to use intuition for achieving your really highest potential. Today, I happily welcome Luke Adler, author of Born to Heal, who shares his belief that physical and emotional dysfunction originate from disconnection from our spiritual essence. Hello, Luke, and thank you for sharing with our listeners today from your own experiences and your training, clear paths to spiritual growth and physical health. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. It's beautiful to be with you. I feel so excited and honored and privileged to speak with you. And it's such an honor to speak to people who are sharing this message and to, you know, share the work. So I'm really excited to hang out with you for a half hour. So.
Great. So, Luke, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share our experiences of the metaphysical world. Mm. We're trying to merge science and spirituality for a clearer view of our human and also our soul potential, and for knowing more about universal energetic laws so we may create more meaningful, loving relationships and improve our personal, our physical, and the world condition. So in today's episode, Luke Adler, who is a board-certified acupuncturist and Chinese herbalist and who has the highest level of national certification for Chinese medicine and who has worked in India with allopathic doctors and Ayurvedic and homeopathic physicians, will address how a diverse spiritual background and his training impact his healing work and share a greater view of the human and soul condition. Luke, I always love to ask each guest to think back to their childhood and remember a person or a place or event that might have been a precursor to the interests and values they hold now as adults, because I believe the seeds for our life plan and destiny are evident in children very early on. So take a moment and think back. I know in the book you wrote a few things that would be relevant here.
Yeah, just as you're talking, I'm kind of getting plunged into meditation, something about your energy. And I was raised in the San Gorgonio Mountains. I guess they're just north of Palm Springs. And first 8 years of life were outdoors, and my parents pretty much just let me roam free through these huge canyons and streams and lakes, and I have encounters with rattlesnakes all the time and wild animals, and would build forts in different trees and bushes. And when you asked me that question, I was just taken back to that place and that time, and I had this connection to nature, and it gave me this sense of something transcendental, something much bigger than my worries or concerns. That has always stayed with me. And I remember a particular instance where I was looking down at my hands and thinking, there must be more to life than just this body. I can feel it. There's something more than these hands.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And you know, when you were just talking, I was remembering when I was little, and I lived in the city, but we used to go to the country, and I would play with the salamanders, and I'd let them run up my arm, but I wouldn't do it now. But then I was open to and free of so many fears, and so natural. Yeah. You were very lucky to live in that environment and have parents who didn't imprint too many of their own personal, perhaps, issues. And I find that the children who were allowed to be freer had this feeling for a connection to something bigger And they didn't lose it as quickly as some of the other people in our society. And you also wrote, when you were 13, you discovered God inside your heart, and you knew that we have a mystical core that connects us to God. And I was the same way as a child. I used to look up at the sky and say, why did you drop me here? I was only three. But let's go on to, why did you write this book? This very special book, very inclusive book, very detailed book. Go on.
I think, you know, I've been asked that question a lot from many different people over the last 3 months, but when you're asking me today, right now, what I feel and what's true for me is that I really wrote this book to share an insight into this world that I've lived in for a very long time, since I was a kid, and that as I grew up, I could start to see that not everyone was having this same experience that I was having. And I've done enough practices and I've taught enough people about healing and meditation and intuition that I found a way to teach it. I found a way to help people discover this inner world or outer world, however you want to think of it, and that anyone can learn it, that it's replicable. And so I wanted to make my story relatable and personal, and rooted in the real world enough that, you know, someone could pick it up and go, hey, this, you know, this kid fought with his dad and he, you know, had to deal with, you know, drugs and alcohol and had to, you know, take tests and date people and, you know, get married and deal with all of the fears that accompany growing up. And then amidst all of that, I've concurrently, you know, maintained a spiritual practice and a relationship to God, to the universe. And I feel like I wrote the book for people who, you know, mainly for people who are getting on the path, or they're on the path and they want to deepen the path. They want it to become a more regular part of their life.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Luke, I feel that you also wrote the book because you wanted to share that disease originates when we are disconnected from the heart, and that the heart or soul and alignment to spirit and eternal life, perhaps, helps you to know our own divinity, our own beauty of our being. And it's true. No healing can take place unless we're working within the mind and body and spirit. It's a three-tier circle of life. And we have many layers and levels of life. Our physical being is only one of them. And I felt that that was also part of your journey to share self-exploration and also to help others know the truth of who we are is only waiting for us to recognize, awaken, and realize. So, yes, I did feel that. But let's go on to, what does the title mean to you and to the reader?
The title, it points to this automatic, inborn, almost mechanism that we're all born to heal. We have this ability to heal that's automatic, that just happens naturally. And if we stretch that idea all the way to the notion of, you know, healing and enlightenment or like spiritual freedom, that we're all on this spiritual path, whether we're conscious of it or not, and that we are evolving whether we're conscious of it or not. And then the idea of born to heal is to say, hey, let's become conscious of it. Let's find out, like you said earlier, what are the principles of the universe that are governing the soul and the spirit, and let's work with them as opposed to kind of randomly happening into a spiritual experience or suffering terribly, and that there's a way to walk the path. There's a way to enjoy the path.
Yes.
There's a way to have fun with the path.
Absolutely. So, it's like life can be considered like a sport, a game, an enjoyable adventure. But if you don't know the rules of energy and you don't know the rules of the universe, it's very hard to get the most out of our physical or our spiritual life. So, yes, that's what we're talking about here. And you also did say, and it will be said many times in this show, that healing happens within our hearts. Now, I have a little story in relation to that. It happened a few years ago. My 2.5-year-old granddaughter told me one day that her head hurt her. So I asked if she wanted Reiki. I'm a Reiki practitioner. And I put my hand near her head, and I felt the pain, and I also sensed she was worried about something. So I asked her where she felt the energy. And she answered, in my heart. I feel it in my heart. And that was where the hurt was really coming from. I was so touched in that moment. I actually felt my heart move. I could actually feel a shift in my heart. So from the mouths of a small child comes the truth. They already know what they need to do and to have in this life. We only have to protect them and keep them on their path to finding their own truths, not what we want to necessarily give them. So I just wanted to share that with you because I felt that was a very moving moment for me when I felt that. So thank you.
Yeah.
Now you have a wonderfully diverse spiritual background. Can you tell us something about some of the people and perhaps your parents? And I know there was a female guru whose energy was very much washed over you and gave you some experiences that many people have not had yet. So can you please tell us something about that?
Absolutely. Thank you. I think I have an interesting story because my parents, my mom was Protestant and my dad Jewish, and yet they were both teachers of transcendental meditation in the early 70s. So they had their religious backgrounds and then they had this deep spiritual longing. So, you know, I was born and life got very busy and they're like, let's take our kid to church. So they took me to, I think I went to a Catholic, I went to a Baptist preschool, Catholic kindergarten, and then we went to, you know, like a Protestant church, and then we moved closer to Los Angeles, and there was a Jewish temple there, so my dad said, let's take the kids to the synagogue. So then I started going to Hebrew school and Sunday school, and I think at that time I was about 12, and my parents got back into meditation. They were reintroduced to meditation through a PTA meeting. They ran into someone. And anyway, I talk about it a little bit in the book. And so they started taking me and my brother and sister to the meditation program in Los Angeles. And it was so different than going to church or temple because there was no teachings. There was no lessons. There was just chanting and meditating.
And there look, there was feeling. You were able to put aside the ideas and the beliefs. It's wonderful that you were exposed to all those different places and theories, but you were now in a situation to truly make a connection to spirit through feeling deeply from your heart. I think that is unbelievable. You were so fortunate. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on. Go on.
So blessed. Yeah. Yeah, and just like you said earlier, I think it was the second program I had ever been to, and you know we're chanting and we're singing and we do this invocation chant at the beginning, and I'm chanting these Sanskrit words. I don't know what they mean. I'm looking up at this picture of a guru. I don't really know who she is. She's beautiful. And I just I feel this energy at the base of my spine. Something I never felt before. It whips back and forth like this electric kind of snake energy, and then when it hits the heart chakra, but it's hitting it from the back, my heart just, it just bursts open and I start to cry. And it was this ancient feeling. It was like this feeling that was so old, like I had been searching for my home. Like I was a refugee and I was searching for my home. And in that moment I found it. And it was a sense of such deep relief, like, oh my God, I'm home.
I think you wrote, I suddenly had the answer to a lot of the questions. I am divine, and I'm here to share love and help others along the path. And I was home, inside, connected to my divine source. Now, I had a similar experience when I was attuned to Reiki and lifted out of my body and felt an ancient connection to spiritual teachers from long ago. And I knew that I was so blessed to have been guided to and to have accepted the path to open up. You felt that opening in your heart, and I also felt that throughout my body. But see, many people are afraid to allow that to happen because they're so into their ego life, their physical world, and what other people think about them. You have to get past that to be connected to this divine universal energy and our ancestors and the eternal nature of life. You have to just let it happen and feel. And once you know it, it never leaves you. It is part of your being that's been reactivated. But let's go on to, how did that history and philosophy impact your healing work? You went to study Chinese medicine because you understood that Chinese medicine has the means to heal the spirit. So how did all your personal history and the philosophies that you pulled together impact your healing work?
Well, it's just as impactful as it was when I started to this day, and I guess simply said, I see the people that I work with as divine. You know, whether they see it or not, I'm looking at a divine being, and I'm having compassion for their humanity and their, you know, their pain and their struggles, but. I don't see people as broken. I don't see people as there needs to be something that they need to be fixed, that there's something wrong with people. I don't live in that reality. I get at the physical level we have issues and they need to be addressed with different herbs or medicines or interventions, but fundamentally the soul and the spirit are perfect. You know, they're whole, and that when we begin healing from the perspective of wholeness and deep love, then the physical body can have the best possible chance to heal. And so my view is that if we're not starting with love and we're just throwing tons of interventions at disease and illness, it's, you know, it could be a rough road. And often I see people going from practitioner to practitioner to practitioner to surgeon to, and, you know, we got to get to love first. And then
because look, the symptoms are only a part of the thought patterns, the fears, and the life that we have created for ourselves, and they are just a reaction until we change the cause, which is to remember who we are and to get in alignment with this love of self and life in general. We don't have a chance to heal, and no one can do it for us. We can set up an environment, but the person has to do it. Now, you wrote, people build their lives around avoiding three things, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, loss, anxiety, and death. But we know we all have to experience this. So what balance do you see in the healing process between the role of the practitioner and the role of the client or patient?
You just said it. I mean, you just articulated it perfectly. You know, we can create the environment. We can create the atmosphere for healing, but the patient, the client, has to make choices for him or herself to open up, to let go of how I look and what people are going to think, and this is so screwed up, and any feeling of wanting to blame other people. that at some point we have to take, each one of us has to take responsibility for our success and our failure in any realm of life, spiritually included, financially included, romantic life included, that we're responsible for how our lives are flowing. And sure, we all have our karma and our life lessons to navigate and learn, but I think it's been one of the hardest lessons I've learned is letting people walk through the door when they're ready. And I want everyone to walk through the door, but the times when I've tried to pull people and just, you know, try to do it for them, that's when I've gotten exhausted
me
and burned
too.
Out. And,
you know, I have to laugh that you say that. It took me many, many years to learn how to be quiet and step back a bit, because I saw as an intuitive ways to help, and I wanted to stop their pain, and they weren't ready. And you just articulated what took me years to truly understand. But you also said that a practitioner's healing is interlinked with the healing of the client. Because, for example, if we see someone and we're resistant for a minute to their problem or their situation, we're mirroring each other. So it could be that we still have a spot within us that needs to see that in a different way. I like that you said that very much. And in regard to that thought, in my own book, The Living Spirit, as I search for the meaning of where soul, divinity, love, and home really resided, as you searched for that also, I expressed it this way. We are each an independent but interconnected life form, and our choices are our responsibility, either nourishing our own growth or making us needlessly and unproductively ponder the judgments and actions of others. Anything that is less than accepting of, you said this too, that anything that is less than accepting of others, whatever their condition, allows for separation from our normal state of love. There it is. So there we're back to, what we have to be. Now, you discussed breath work, and many people will hear that, and they'll say, well, what is the breath all about? But actually, your dad told you something when you were a kid that I loved. I had to learn it a different way. But he said it to you. You remember what he said to you when you were a kid?
Yeah, he said God is so intelligent. You know, he gave us this very simple tool to find our way back home, and it's right under your nose, so to speak. Just breathe.
Yes, breathe. Because the minute we step back, take a breath, calm ourselves, the minute passes, whatever situation we are in is over, and our fear and our anger, our loneliness, we realize that moment by moment is the way to live life and not worry about the past or the future. So I thought that was fantastic. In all the, I don't know how many books I've read, maybe thousands. Okay. I never heard it that way, and I enjoyed it so much. So what kind of people would benefit from reading Born to Heal? And do they need more than a book?
Well, I think the book is it's a pretty comprehensive start to learning quite a bit about how to take responsibility for your own healing. And I have people from every age group, from every political orientation, you know, people who are very religious, very conservative, very liberal, who are interested in the work that I do. It's really fascinating, because when I left Los Angeles, I thought, you know, the only people that are going to do this are the Santa Monica, you know, whatever, Boulder, Colorado crowd, you know, very open-minded.
Yes.
And I was completely shown that was not true when I moved to Eugene. I have people coming from rural places, from all walks of life, who are, you know, confiding in me. You know, I see ghosts, or I have this connection to to spiritual beings that I can't see, and you know, it's people you would never guess that they have these kind of experiences. So I think this it's kind of a matter of like the soul, that there's a certain rightness of the soul that wants to know about something deeper than where the mainstream is flowing. So
I think everyone's having these experiences, but many people just push it away because it's not the right time and they're busy surviving in their physical life. But you know what? I'm in New York, so New York is a tougher venue for finding people who are truly going to be as open as you and I are about talking about this.
Right.
I imagine California, Palm. I've been to Palm Springs. I've been to many places out west. So I guess my energy would be easier, more at peace in that environment. But but we're all placed where we have to be to reach the people that we have to reach. And I don't think you look for them. I think people are guided to find the right healer, the right medium, the right intuitive to guide them on their own journey. And I'm sure you've also discovered that. So I want to thank you, Luke Adler, for sharing a wonderfully honest account of your healing journey and that of each of us and the way you guide others to discover their true heart and the courage needed to empower their awakening, ultimately making a soul connection. For more information and to purchase the book, go to lukeadlerhealing.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have truly explored ancient techniques, exercises, meditations that inspire the development of intuition or inner guidance while allowing us to find within the deep recesses of our heart the love or divine within. Heal the body, heal the emotions, and provide us the tools, the will, and the energy and desire to fulfill our life plan and destiny. Luke wrote, "Spiritual practices are not an escape from the stresses of life. They fuel and fortify universal love and keep the mind and body laser sharp. They transform life's lessons into healing frequencies. Meditation fosters freedom and leaves you at peace wherever you go. Regular meditation transforms you into a person who radiates love, goodwill, and healing. Luke and I would have you find the beauty within yourself and the love. And once you do, to express your own imagination and creation into everything you put your attention on. For you will manifest and create much happiness for yourself and others, and you will flow with all circumstances, allowing none to affect you or distract you from the magnificent soul being you already are. Life will become easier, and love will be everywhere in the appreciation of life itself. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear authors and leaders in the field of science, spirituality, medicine, psychology, and the arts discuss the way to find healing and well-being simply by responding not to the thoughts but to the feelings within that speak the truth and warrant your attention. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.